It's kind of been in my mind all morning. We talked in Sunday school and before about why we as Christians get together and why and what's expected of us. But it kind of my mind as as we're sitting back here singing other songs, I looked around, and even though I come to worship God, you know, we come to grow in strength and everybody else, I guess the greatest thing of it is we come here as a place of safety. Think about it. When everything else, the world's going crazy, just like it was, or just like it is in the stormy seas, all ships look for a haven of rest. And just listen to the words, we try to sing it. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened in sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yielded myself to his tender embrace, and faith, taking hold of the word, my fetters fell off, and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, come to the Savior, he patiently waits to save by his power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest, and say, my beloved is mine. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore.
Appreciate those songs this morning, and once again, we thank everybody for coming out and being with us this morning. Be much in prayer for us. We do nothing for ourselves, what the Lord have us do, and you know, like we say, it's always good to be in the house of God, and Brother Ron made a good point right there that this is a place of refuge, and you know, as we were speaking this morning, talking about setting all things aside, you know, when Brother Robert's prayer was made mention of that, and you know, that's where I think that it becomes the belief in what the house of God is actually for. amongst the believers is whenever they begin to realize that when we come in here, nothing else matters. Not only that, I think it's also a reminder is that when we get down in life, things begin to happen. Whenever decisions have to be made or problems have to be solved, at any time we can go and find a place of refuge in the Lord. And, I was thinking about Psalms chapter 27, verse 1, and it begins to tell us that the Lord is the light of our salvation. And, that scripture right there will always stay in my mind because it gave me comfort in a time when I needed it. And you know what? It's in my heart right now because it makes me realize what kind of God I serve, what kind of Lord He's able to be, not just one time, but any time, not just one place, but any place, is that we can look to Him and we can begin to have a place of refuge. So I appreciate that song, appreciate that word that you gave us this morning. And, as we get into the Word of God, it's nothing new. There's one thing about it, is what I know about the Word of God is that it is the living Word of God. And where I know that it stands and has its strength this morning is that it feeds itself. And, not anything that I've done, I don't have to point out to you where the Word of God begins to affirm itself, because it continually, from the beginning of the Old Testament all the way to the end of the New Testament, it begins to feed itself. It runs right in. There's no coincidences in the Word of God. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, it says. And as it says that right there, it means He doesn't change from the beginning of the book all the way to the back of the book. And He needs us to realize that today. And I believe that's the best thing you can understand this morning, is to know that He's always been in control. He always is. And the where we lose control is within ourselves. And a lot of times I think that we get so caught up in the way we do things and the way we go about doing life, even as a Christian, is that we begin to lose sight of that. And the biggest thing that that I think the Scripture pointed out to me. A lot of times I get to study and either a word will pop out to me or a question will come out. And I don't know why it's like that. It's the way the Lord gives it to me. But, there was a question that I began to ask myself as a Christian and as my daily walk through Him. I think we all need to ask ourselves this from every day, each and every time. The next point in time that you come to a crossroads in life, ask yourself this question: what's next? Because I believe if we're asking ourselves what's next, we're focused on moving forward. We're focused on allowing the Lord to be next in our life. If we'll ask ourselves that, then you'll know that you don't have the answer. You don't have the ability to know what's next. And I know that we know that God holds tomorrow, and I believe He's got it in the palm of His hand. He already knows what's going to. We made mention this morning that what it says over in the book of Matthew, 5th chapter, or 6th chapter, I do believe, and it tells us that don't worry about tomorrow. Today is sufficient enough. But, as I'm thinking about that right there, a lot of times we get into the situation to where we think at that point in time that we know what's going to happen next. And when I'm asking myself what's next and in the Lord, I find myself beginning to go look to the Word of God and know this. But anyway, this is the Scripture maybe that brought this to our mind and our heart this morning. And over in the book of John, the 6th chapter, 25th verse where we're going to start out right here. And, like I say, I don't think I've ever got the thought out of this right here that I have this morning. But I want us all to be focused on what's next. As I know that we're doing that, though, we're allowing ourselves to grow. You want to see stunning growth, you stop seeking after what's next. Stop seeking after the Lord in the way that He needs to be sought. I've seen a lot of things happen in my life and in church houses. And I've been in part of some good services where miraculous things happened. I may have not ever been there and seen forms move around the church house or anything like that, but I've been there when people get so full of the Spirit, they begin to shout, they begin to praise, and I've seen souls saved. I can't think of anything more miraculous than that. But you know what? If we constantly spend our whole life trying to seek after the signs that we can see, the physical things we can do, we find ourselves getting into the point to where we're so complacent that we don't know what's next. I believe the church has always been made to look forward. We know that the Bible tells us that the best for a Christian is yet to come. We got a lot in this life. And what the Lord does for us in this life, it's a lot. I know we've talked about how once we're a child of God, we're an heir. We're given things that can be used in this life. We're given joys that we can understand right now and take in and begin to be blessed by. But at the same time, to know that the best is yet to come for us, to know that one day after a while, that the promise, the ultimate promise that we were given, is to have everlasting life in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But as I begin to think about this morning, some scripture hit me and I begin to read over them a little bit. But in the 25th verse, This comes after Jesus walks on the sea and things like that. But it says in the 25th verse, it says, "And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" This came a point in time to where Jesus, we know that he kind of went away, and they didn't know where he had went. He had done the miracle by feeding them with bread and the few fishes, and they seen a miraculous work done that day, and and so they were still kind of interested. So, they asked this question right here is that when did you come here? When did you get to this point? And why, or maybe I want to change maybe how the question was worded right here, is why are you on the other side? Why are you at this point? And each and every time in my life, and this is what I speak of personally, each and every time that I begin to ask the Lord why, there was always a lesson to be learned that always followed after that. And whenever he got down to the point, they maybe not said why at this point, but they wanted to know why he had to cross to the other side. Well, he had to go to the other side to explain something to them. Is that a lot of times in life we get to seeing these things, and I know the Lord's been better than good to me. I say it all the time, and I mean it. He's shown me things that he didn't have to show me. I think he's worked things in my life that he didn't have to do. And I love him each and every day for that. But if that right there is all that I ever had to hold on to, then I have nothing. Because what he says, tells him in the next verse. He says, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath God the Father sealed." And then they said unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered unto them and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." We've read the scripture time and time again. Some of the most familiar scripture probably that he spoke to them. And we know that whenever he spoke this to them, they didn't understand. Some of them ceased to even walk with him anymore because they didn't have the miraculous things going on that they were looking for. No doubt he turned a miracle, and the miracle was for them to be able to see. But you know what? The what happened on the inside with them, they took the food in, they consumed it. It filled their bodies and everything. But what happened on the inside is not what they were paying attention to. They didn't pay attention to how he was able to give them what they stood in need of. And there's one thing about, I know in the Word of God, there was a question or maybe an answer that God gave to Moses back many, many books ago over in Exodus, about the third chapter, and the burning bush right there. He told him, he gave him an answer. He said, "I am." And you know what? Whenever he spoke that, "I am," that leaves a lot of questions for even Christian people today. And I believe that God answered the question to who is I am. And you know what? And the reason I believe that this morning, we'll get into that here in a little bit, but is that in Jesus, he answered all things. So when Jesus began to come about and they asked him, they said, "Well, what works can we do?" I know that there's not one single thing this morning that I have the ability to do to please God enough to where I'd be able to be granted into his presence. The only thing that I can ever be able to do is what Jesus answered to them right here. And they were considering following him. They were going after him. They even followed him to the other side. They want to know why he was there. He was there to teach them the lesson of this. Is there's not one single thing that any of us need to do this morning except outside of have faith in Jesus Christ. There's not one thing that is expected of us as Christian people this morning except that we believe. Every promise that was ever given in Jesus was given to the believer. It was not given to those that would be around it, not just those that would come to church, but it was given to those that would believe upon him. So these people, as they began to follow, they went all the way. And I believe there's people that probably went many miles with him. But you know what? You can come to church each and every day that the church doors are open and still not have a part with Jesus. And that's why it says right here, it says that this work, this is the work of God. You know what? I believe from the very beginning of the time is that God predestined, from the very beginning, he elected to save people through his only begotten Son. I believe he already had that set up. It was a plan that he already had in store. And if you believe that this morning, you've got to know that God had only one thing in store for those that would come by and accept that. That they believe with their whole heart and follow with their whole heart. These miraculous works that Jesus done, and I'm looking at a world today that we're living in right now, is that they would have probably looked, I would be in amazement this morning had I seen him serve that many people
on five loaves. I know how much food you go through when you start serving just a handful of people. But he took, five loaves and a few fishes. And as the Bible told, and you know, that right there is a miraculous work itself. How he began to take water and turn it into wine. And it goes on down through there, all the miracles that he worked. Those would be miraculous things to see. But you know what? If that's the only thing that you and I are going around looking for today, if we're just looking with our eyes and not with our hearts, then we don't know how to follow after Jesus. You know, I see a lot of people that struggle a lot of times. And you know what? Maybe I've been in this condition. I think I have. It is when we go throughout, we just don't see things happening the way we think they ought to happen. Then we get so sidetracked with ourselves a lot of times that we forget what the Word of God says. You know what? I'm going to tell you, there have been times in my life, and you know, I know you hear me say it all the time, but I don't let what other people do affect what I do. You know, I can remember being down at Unity, you know, down there, for, I guess, for 3 years there. And you know what? Things wasn't happening the way that I thought they ought to happen. There wasn't great moves being made. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, the church, the youngest member there was 63-year-old. I mean, you know, and that really that was a dying church. And, you know, I got so caught up in those things because I wasn't seeing nothing happen, is that it began to affect me spiritually. It got me so down and everything that I, you know what, what I did for God, I don't believe it had the unction that it once had. You know what? It wasn't nobody else's fault. It was my fault. It wasn't God's fault. God didn't stop dealing with me on that. He didn't stop showing up just because. But the very thing was is that I was looking for signs. I wasn't following after what God put me there for. But you know what? Using that example right there is a lot of times in our life, we get so caught up is that, you know what? If there ain't great shining light beaming down upon us, if people ain't jumping up and shouting at every time the Word of God's spoken, we start to get disheartened because we think that it's not really there. But you know what? We wasn't charged with working in the beginning. The only work that we were charged with is that we believe that it can be done. If we come to the house of God, and I don't care if there's anywhere from one lost person in here to 10, if we come here thinking that we've got to do something in order for them to get saved, then we're making the first mistake right there. We're leading away from what God said, just believe. You know, when I got saved that night, it wasn't because I believed that Granddaddy told me the right thing. You know what I can say? I believe the preached Word of God's got to go out, and I believe that when it does, it'll convict, it'll do exactly what it needs to be done. But what I'm saying right here is it's not because I believed in Granddaddy. It's not because I believed in my mom and daddy. It's not because I believed in myself because I got down there and prayed. It was because I believed in Jesus. It was because I believed in what He could do. You know what? And you look back at every testimony that's in here in this room right now, and there's not a single one of us that got saved by believing in anything other than the only begotten Son of God. Why is that? Because it says that God sealed Him. What is a seal? A seal is a stamp of approval. God approved Jesus from this task from the very beginning. He didn't approve me or you. You know, He didn't. And I like to say, how do I get down to this part right here after just saying that I believe He predestined from the very beginning of time that people would walk after His Son, they would believe in His Son. It was His Son, though, that sets everything in order. It was His Son that would redeem a lost and dying world when it came down there. And you know, if you believed any other way, then you would believe in predestination, that God has already set aside a certain amount of people that's going to be saved. And you know what? That's not for us to decide, because then again, it steps in on belief. You know what? I think the problem within the church, we can blame it upon anything. You know, we can blame it because people ain't doing what they're supposed to be doing. We can blame it because we ain't got enough money to run a church. We can blame it because our church is outdated and things like that. All these things are all subcategorized under the fact that the church has lost belief in what God can really do. It's not, I'm not trying to beat anybody down this morning. You know, I'm preaching myself more than anybody. But why we see the lack of things happening is because we simply don't have the amount of faith that we ought to have. Amen. You know what? I've said time and time again, the Word of God will back it up. You ever have a lack of unity? It's because you have a lack of faith. If the church can't come together, it's because we have lost the faith in what it once was. You know, I'm going to tell you right now is that for anybody that be of God to think that they have the ability to provide something to the church. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, we all took this covenant up here when we joined the church, and there's certain things that are all stated right there, and I like to point it out, and I'll be honest with you, I think it'd probably be good for us to read that every now and then. I just have maybe a refreshing of the mind. Because when we get into that right there, we see that we made a promise to the church to do certain things. But to think that you and I have enough worth about us to be able to provide anything for this church is a misconception. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, and like I say, I'm not trying to belittle anybody, but the thing is that we're all here for one given reason. We're all here because we were saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. God provided. As He was in the very beginning, a provider of man, He still is that today. We are the ones that recognize it. You know, the world, God still provides for them too, but they don't recognize Him. You know what, when we come to the house of God, it's a good thing that we do it, but if that's the only reason why we're here is just to be here, then we're missing the whole point. We're trying to work our way in. You know, there are people all across the land that are going to church this morning, just like you did. But in the sense that they've just got to be there because they know that's what they're supposed to do. They ain't never been born again. They've never truly accepted Him. If you're not here this morning because you believe in Him, then you're here for the wrong reason. Not telling you to leave and go out the doors. What I'm telling you is that it's time to get on the altar and find out what is there. Because you know what? It's not a faith in Jesus Christ. You know what? My faith in Him, it's the reason why I'm here. You know what? I'm not here that I may gain more faith. Now, I believe that can happen. I believe you come in the house of God, you hear the preached word of God, and the songs are sang, and the testimonies that are told. Those things right there can build faith. But you need to be here because of the faith. So like I say, that's what Jesus was pretty much telling the people right here. He said, you're here for the wrong reason. And that's why most of them left. You know what? If you tell somebody that right there, a lot of times they're going to walk out, they ain't going to come back. You know what, I'm not trying to do that this morning, but all I'm telling you right now is that Jesus had a requirement for you to be there. He still does today. You need to be here with all your heart. You need to be here with all your mind. You need to be settled upon what the true reason is why you serve Him this morning. You know what, it's not just the fact of being here, it's how you serve Him in everyday life. I believe it can be depicted upon the things that you do, the actions that you take. You know what, I believe faith alone saves, but faith is not alone. It's accompanied. You know what, when I was saved, I was given an unction within me, a fire burning within me that couldn't be shut up because there was something I needed to do for the Lord. And you know what, let's all think back to that. We've all had those times where we knew that it was time for us to work. You know what, we put it aside, we get out of the way, we get caught up doing life, and next thing you know, it's just kind of faded out. What faded out though? Was it the fact that the Lord didn't need us no more? No, it wasn't. The fact was is that we lost faith in what we had in the very beginning. You know what? I can remember back whenever I was saved, there wasn't a thing that I couldn't do. I'll be honest with you. That's how good the Lord makes you feel. You know what? There's not one thing in life that I could not do with Him. And you know, that's the way it ought to be. That's the way we ought to look at it today. That's why I think we can take a lot of notice from the new converts if we would give our time over to begin to sit down with them a little bit and encourage them to keep on going on instead of letting them fall out like they so often do. If we would get down to them and maybe feel that newness of the fire again, that right there is enough to start a revival. We don't have to have a week-long service for that to happen. All we need to do is get back closer to God. You know what? And I believe it is it burns bright within somebody like that right there. Someone that just freshly believes. A lot of times, what our problem is, we get to be a bunch of old heads, and we get caught up, and we just lose that fire within us, and then it takes down. You know what? But it don't only affect us. That's the problem. We need to realize that when we do something, the life of the world is contingent upon what the church has. You know, I'm gonna tell you, I don't have the ability. I don't have a doctor's degree. I can't go out there and begin to perform surgery or anything like that, save somebody's life or anything like that. But I know within my heart what's been instilled within me by the word that I have right here. I have the power to let the world know about a life in Jesus. I have the power this morning to be able to stand up because I believe in it, because I started it off the way that it ought to be done, that because I believe in that they may have life just as I do. So you know, that right there is enough for us to see. Is this what Jesus was talking about when He said this is the work of God? It is God's intention that every man come to an altar of repentance. It is God's intention that no man dies and goes to hell. But see, once again, we've lost sight. We've lost sight of what Jesus was preaching in the very beginning when He told each and every one of them. He didn't bat an eye. He didn't stutter one bit. He put it out there straightforward to them, even though he knew he's going to lose about half his congregation. He began to speak it exactly the way it needed to be spoken. You know what? Like I say, a lot of times the church, like I say, wants to place blame on everybody else, and I don't think there's any blame to be placed except is that we've lost sight of where the help comes from, where the provision comes from. And you know, like it says right here in the 30th verse, "Then said therefore unto him, What sign shewest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" You know, a lot of times, I was thinking about that this morning, and you know, and I know that I'm guilty of this. I know that I fall in this category, and I believe that most churches do. But as we begin to see right here, the very first thing that they're going to say, after he tells them exactly what they need to hear, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm the first one to tell you, I'm stubborn. And whenever I'm told something that's too simple to believe, you know, I start seeking after that more complicated answer. That's what the church, I believe, is doing right now. That's what the world does. The world, you know, I think I was explaining to somebody, might have been me and Brother Ryan talking earlier, and I was talking to a young man earlier this week, is that we overcomplicate salvation. You know what? Why we don't see so many people being saved today whenever we know the Lord's dealing with them? Why is those not happening? It's because they complicate. The only thing that needs to happen is they need to believe. They don't need to change their life around. They don't need to change the actions that they take. Jesus will do all that. We know that. We believe that. But what the problem is they don't have enough belief within them that Jesus can take all that away. Well, you look at the Christian life. And like I say, so many people right here that used to be in these pews with us right here, why are they falling out? Is because, and I don't care what the situation is. I don't know their heart. I don't know why they ain't here. But what I do know is because they didn't have enough belief that Jesus was going to get them through it. And it'll always be that way. You know what? I believe God's a simple God. He's always been a God of simplicity. He made sure to let you know that He's one God. You know what? It'll only be Him to do all things. He sent one Savior. It's through one salvation, one baptism. All these things were placed in the number one. Because He is a God of simplicity. So He's not going to complicate it up enough to where you have anything to do other than believe. You know what? When we begin to believe, we can say that there's many other things that needs to take place. But did you know that all the things that happen in our Christian life all take place because of belief? You come to the house of God because you believe. You read the Word of God, and like Brother Robert made very clear this morning, and we take it and we use it as guidance and direction in our life because we believe. We pray because we believe. All these things that come into play that we have to do as Christian people, that we have a desire to do, is because we have a belief that these things are going to happen and they're going to be better for us. But you know, like I say, it's a lot harder to get somebody to believe on the things that you believe if you don't really believe them in the first place. You know what? Hey, we all fail and come short, and I know this, and you know what? And I fail just as much as anybody else, and you know what? Like I say, I'm preaching myself more than anybody this morning. But the problem is that we let these things happen too frequent in life. You know what? The problem is that when we get slack on our prayer life, that not only affects us, that affects those that are listening to us. When we slip up and say that word, that four letter word, it just comes out whenever we're just maybe mad, or when we stub our toe or something like that. You know, other people are watching that. That belief level, hey, I'm one here to tell you right now, I don't believe it's going to come out if it ain't there. If it ain't within your heart, I'm going to tell you, I don't believe that one bit. Anybody tells me that it just happens, no, it don't just happen. You know, there's always decisions that have to be made before that time comes. You know what, I believe that when the Lord took it away from me, I believe He took it away from me completely. You know what, maybe it took some time for me to learn that. But it was all on me. It was my belief level. My belief level in what He could do. You know what? If we know we have a God that is limitless, then that means is if our belief level was limitless, then God could do all things in our life. We have no want for nothing. And you know, that's what I began to think about this morning. You know, I believe that each and every day that you live as a Christian person, you know, if you'll continually strive to grow in grace, when you grow in grace, your belief level grows. One day after a while, I believe as we continue to grow in Him, you could be in it for 40 years and you grow up in Him and have the belief that He can move mountains and things like that. But I believe one day after a while, when we actually get there and we see the face of Jesus and we're there with Him forevermore, our belief level will be limitless. That's why I believe that it'll be able to be life everlasting. Why He'll be able to provide at all times. And we'll never have a need, it says, because He'll provide everything. You know what, I'm going to tell you that right there, but begin to make me think right there, is because at that point in time, there's an ultimate belief. You know what, this old world right now, they're looking for things that they can see, the things that they can touch. And you know what, a lot of times it seems like that we've got to be able to show them something in order for them to believe. But you know, I'm going to tell you right now is that you can go out and you can speak in tongues, you can go out and you can shout, hoot and holler, and run around. You can do things that, I don't know, I go on with a list on that thing, but you get the point. You can do all these things, and it still wouldn't be enough for the world to believe. Because whenever it talks about the belief right here, it's talking about believing within the heart. A man can see with his eyes and deceive the mind, say that they believe. But to believe within the heart, there comes many actions afterward. Whenever a man believes within the heart, it's just like you and I today. Why are we here? We're here because we believe. You know what? It'd been easy. We'd seen great things happen. We'd probably still be at home with most of them. But you know what made me a believer? What made me a believer is that night when I knelt down on an altar and cried out to Him. And when He come in and saved my soul and His Spirit dwells within me, that was enough for me to believe. That was enough because that little bit of faith that I exercised that night, it got me something that I can't find in the world. It got me something that'll keep me going. That's what got me something that I can believe upon and not have to worry if it's going to fail or not. Because you know what? Most things in life, they're going to fail. You know, everything you've got right now, material-wise, even your own body is going to fail you. You know, I'm going to tell you, right now, we like to put our trust in a lot of things, and most oftentimes we don't really even recognize that if we put our trust in God in the first place, we wouldn't have to worry about all them other things. You know, I think me and Brother Ryan was talking earlier and everything and about things that in life. A lot of times, I think we get so caught up in keeping up with life right now. You know what? We want the finest houses, the finest cars. You know what? I think you ought to have a dependable stuff you can depend on. I'm not saying going out buying trash and everything like that. But, I mean, in the very act of buying a car or buying a house, sometimes we overreach. And what does it do? It causes us trouble. How many people you see today that have bought big fancy houses and only a couple years later to see foreclosure on them because they couldn't afford them? You know what? I believe that if a decision is prayed about and God's in a part of it, I believe that He'll be able to provide for you. And you know what? But what I'm not getting into money and everything like that. What I am getting at is this right here, is that a lot of times is when we overreach for those things and we put our belief level in those things, it'll oftentimes wind up failing on us, causing us more heartache than it ever took in the first place. If we just believe in God, place it all in Him. Not worry about the things that you've got going on in life. God's going to take care of them. Why do I know that? I'm not up here to give you an ear-tickling message. What I'm here to tell you is the Word of God says that. Don't have no want for that. Hey, I was talking to Brother Tommy this morning at the restaurant. He was talking about a man that said that he couldn't make it as a HVAC guy because he was too honest with people. And I'm sure we've had people that worked on HVAC before that have charged an arm and a leg for things like that. He said, but I'm too honest. If it don't take me a few minutes to fix, he said, I'm not going to charge like it took me so long. Well, you know, thinking about that right there is that the response that he said to him was, well, as long as you do people right, God will take care of you in the end. And you know, that's not a naive belief. A lot of people say, well, that right there just gets you in trouble. No, that's not how it is. I believe God spoke that. If we'd be honest in all of our business, God's going to take care of those things. You know what? It's just like you in life, how you treat people. You know what? The golden rule that people have talked about for so long, doing to others as you'd have them doing to you. You know, that's honest living. That's the way God set it up. You know what? If you believe in God, if you believe that He can do these things, I'm going to tell you, if you treat people honest, that's how it's going to be. But anyway, it says, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And they said unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me, to me, shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. So you know what? Even if we walked with Jesus, even if we heard him audibly, he said that we'd be just like these people right here. If that's all we had right there is the very fact that we've seen him. You know, these pictures and these things that we got hanging around the whole church and everything is only kind of a thought of what we might think that he would look like. You know what? And if that's all we ever had to look at or look to, then we'd have nothing. But the fact that we believe on him, and you know, I think Christian, we was talking the other day, and we was talking about faith, about having enough faith. I asked him, I said, you ever get down on your knees and pray to him? He said, well, yeah, I do. I said, well, what better than getting down and calling out to a God whom you've never seen? That right there is the ultimate belief. Is when we get down to the point to where we can call out on him at any time, take our most deepest secrets and begin to talk it over with him. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, that's something right there. It's one thing to pray at church and pray out loud and things like that, but Jesus said himself, hey, don't take anything in that, but whenever you go in and secretly pray, do those things that you wouldn't even talk to your mom and daddy about. You can talk about it with the Lord. That right there is a big belief level. That's why there's looked at and desired of God. It's because there comes a point in time to where, hey, it's just like these people. They walk with him. They talk to him. They heard him teach. They seen the miracles. Yet they still did not believe because they still needed a sign. You know what? I don't think this morning, if you've got yourself right with him, I don't think you need to see anything else. That's why in the Scripture it tells three times in the New Testament that we walk by faith, not by sight. You know what? The just shall live by faith. That's what it says. You know what? If you're justified this morning, you're justified because of your belief. You're not justified in what you've seen. You know what? I've heard some good messages over the years, and I've heard some good songs being sang. But you know what? The confirmation didn't come in the fact of how they done it or who I seen do it. Confirmation came by the Holy Spirit. It came and I believed. Because of that. So you know what he says right there? He said that all that the Father hath given me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should not lose, but I should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth upon him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So you know, you notice the wording right there. That's one thing that I begin to say, why would he go over it twice? Why would he begin to expound? Well, you know, it says right here that the Father which has sent me, that which all he hath given me. So God gave this. God put it in order. God set it in order from the very beginning of time. The foreordained plan of salvation was set in order by God and given to Jesus. So he has the seal of approval. He has the ability to take all things upon him because God gave it to him. But what we see here in the next instance is that he's going to raise those up in the last day, is that this is the will that he that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth, you know, that right there, believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. So that sets in order right there who it's going to be and why it's going to be done. You know, I can say this morning, there's a lot of people that will come to the house of God just because they know to be here, just because they know that it's instituted in the Word of God. You know what? I believe there's been people that have read the Word of God, know what it says. I've talked to them. You have too. They'll tell you word for word. They probably know the Bible better than you do. But at the same time, they don't live it. It's not showing up in their life. Jesus made it very clear right then and there that those that would see the Son, I believe he was expounded as the Word of God. There's plenty that's going to see the Word of God, but it's a different thing for you to believe it. It's a different thing this morning because I believe it shows up in your life. I believe that in the last day, those that be raised up is going to be the true church. You know, the true church is only explained in one way only. Those that would endure until the end. You know what? Like I say, I'm not worried about the number in this church. I'm not worried about one bit. I'd love to see it full, but you know, right now all we're focused on is who's here. And all that we stand in the end, if we can all endure until the end, in the end, He promised He's going to raise us up. You know, that's only going to become because of our belief level. It's not going to come because of our number. By the how many works we've done as a church, you know what? We could spend every day. We can come up here every day of the week and have a different title on the day. And you know what? I'm not against churches having that. I think some good things can go on in the middle of the week. The church can take part in and things like that. And the Lord be in that, we ought to do it. But you know what? We can set every day of the week to do a different thing every night. We can feed the hungry on Monday. We can come out on Tuesday, have choir lessons, things like that. We can do different things all day, every day of the week. But if we're not doing it because we believe, if we're not doing it because we've got faith that the Lord's going to have something come out of it, then we're doing it for no reason. Well, that's not going to get us to be a church. Those that in the end that's going to be raised up is going to be because they endured all things. They believed upon Him in every situation. You know what I'm not saying? But the past is the past. God chose not to remember the past if it would be repented of. You know what? There's been times in my life where I failed and come short. And you know what? But thank God, those things ain't going to keep me out because I've repented. I repented and turned away from it. You know, right now, what the biggest thing for you and I to do right now is to repent and move away from those things that we failed to come short on. Because, you know, God's always wanted us to ask, what's next? You know, as we got a breath in our body right now, I don't think there's a single person in here, and I'm going to say this in closing. I don't believe there's a single person in here that has finished their work for the Lord. You know, I don't believe this church is finished in the work for the Lord. You know, the Lord still gives us breath in our body. We've still got a good group of people coming here. At this point in time, God wants us to ask what's next. You know, if we'll seek after Him in the right way, you know what, not looking for the next sign. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I don't want to see somebody move closer to the Lord. I'm not saying that I don't want to see somebody be saved. That's not what I'm saying at all, because I believe those things come after the fact. You know, we're trying to look at the end. Now, I believe God already painted an end picture for us. He already showed us a little bit of what that's going to be. But it's not yours and my job to begin to look at the end picture right now. We need to live in the now time. Get ourselves right. Make sure that we're moving on to the next step. If we believe enough that the Lord's going to get us the next step, when He gets us to it, He'll get us through it. And I'm going to tell you what right now, we can do some miraculous things, and miraculous things will happen. And who's to know? By those showings right there, hey, I can remember about stories that Granddaddy and all them would tell me about when they were kids. You know what? There'd be kids all over the church, and it seemed like when one would go to the altar, there'd be three or four more that would follow. And they'd all get saved all at the same time. Man, you know, things like that, examples that when they're set right, when they're set in the Lord, they can take notice of them. You know what? So you and I need to be the example set in the Lord this morning. We need to be able to make sure that we can say all is well between us and God. And if we can do that, and we've got all our beliefs set in Him, there's nothing we can't do. I just have to believe that this morning. So I'm going to leave you with this scripture. Brother Keith, come on with a song. Got one scripture marked out. Now, we talked about it a little bit last week. Misquoted it, but I want to kind of get it out there. Hebrews 11, chapter 1, verse. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's the description of it. You know what? If we're just looking for something today, if we're not searching it out with our heart, then I'm going to tell you what, our faith's gotten weak on us. We need to get back right with the Lord. So if you have a need this morning, we want you to stand. If we have a song invitation, let you know the altar's always open.
99 in the blue book. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
All right, once again, like I say,
I think that's a go-to song right there. You know, I hope that we're all found in that way, being trusting and obedient in Him. You know, I know that things right now, you look across our country right now, the things that are happening, the shootings going on, taking place, corruption everywhere, it seems like, different scandal every week. You know, I'm beginning to wonder, you know, is there still any that believe? And, you know, and as I ask that question, I think about, and I think it was brought up this past week, there was a point in time to where a prophet came to be that he asked that question, and then God revealed to him. And I think that was brought out last Sunday night. And, you know, and as I was beginning to dwell on that all week long, you know, it's not up to me to worry about that. We worry ourselves too much, you know, on things that we have no business putting ourselves in that place. So the worry needs to be cast out. The belief needs to be taken up. And if we follow in that way, I'm going to tell you, I believe the Lord's limitless on everything He can do for us. But you know what? It's disheartening to look out and see all this happening and people moving further and further away. You know, I talked to Brother Ryan back there. We was talking about some boys that we've known for a long time. And, you know, they're struggling right now. And, you know, you hurt for them. I believe that's part of it. I think we got burdens for them. You hurt for them, but the only thing that I can do for them, though, I mean, I can be there for them to talk to them, to let them know what the Word of God says, but the only thing that I can do that will ever amount to anything is to believe that God is going to be there for them and put them where they need to be. You know, I'm going to say that we all are probably facing that situation right now with somebody. You know, if you're not facing that with somebody, I believe it's because maybe you've got something standing between you and God. Because I believe that there's always going to be a burden upon us as Christian people to pray for those that are lost and undone, those that ain't living right. So let's continue to remember all these prayer requests. I'm going to shut up now. But, you know, we've had a good day in the Lord, and we've understood the Word of God a little bit more than what we maybe did when we started out this morning. But, you know, at the same time, we know that when we understand, whenever much is given, much is required. So, you know, as we got the Word of God with us, let's go out and use it and apply it to our life, that we can better serve Him. Does anybody got anything they want to say or do?